Blog Talk Radio. Sometimes it's rough, but you have to sometimes smile your way through some things. You know, just smile your way through it. You don't have to laugh now, but sometimes you just smile your way through it because you know it's going to get better. You know that all things are working together for your good. Why? Because you love the Lord. Why? Because you've been called according to his purpose to do his will. So, yeah, go ahead on and smile. It doesn't matter what's happening. Smile. I am Lewis Beasley, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're so happy to have each and every one of you all. Pray to God that you all would keep me and my family lifted up in prayer. And more especially, my daughter in Ohio, her name is Tressie by name. She went through a lot the last couple weeks. She's had to bury two uncles, and her brother died on yesterday. So we want to keep them all lifted up in prayer, that God give them strength to go through this yet again. Some people say, well, you know, this is not the first rodeo when you done bury your mother, your daddy, your granddaddy, your stepdaddy, your brothers and your favorite uncle, and now you buried another uncle, and now you got, but brother and sister, let me tell you, it don't get easier because you start thinking about things. But I ask you all to pray for her. Right now, I'm going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer, and then we'll get farther into this week's lesson. Praise God.
The Lord, and good afternoon, everyone. Amen. And we're just going to continue to keep Sister Tressie in our prayers. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from Philippians, the 4th chapter. In the 4th verse, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, thanking you for each and every one. Thanking you for those that are listening by internet, those that have called in. And Father God, we ask that you would just touch our sister right now in the name of Jesus. We know that when it comes to losing someone that you love, it's hard. But we know that you will keep your loving arms around her and give her the strength that she needs as yes. she goes through this again, Father God. And, Lord, we come before you, binding up everything that is not like you right now in the name of Jesus, asking you to strengthen each and every one. We also keep it in prayer, the brother who called in concerning his daughter. We know you're working things out, Father God. It may not be our time. Most of the time it isn't. It's always your time. So we're just praying for him as well. And we're praying for each and every one on this broadcast, Father God, and those that are listening by internet. You know what they're going through. You know what they're praying for and asking you for, Father God. And we're just praying that your will be done. Be with all those that are sick and shut in, Father God. We know you are a healer. We're praying for Mr. Banks in Indiana. Father God, he has decided that he don't want no treatment, and he is standing on God's word, and he just,
yeah.
We all pray for him as he stands on God's word, as he goes through this time of sickness in his life. And Father God, be with the family as they encourage him and comfort him as well. Lord, we thanking you for all things, and we just praying for those who are bereaved. May the word of God reach their heart and touch them and draw them closer to you. Be with those that are going through. You'll make a way out of no way. And, Lord, we thanking you for our pastor, ask that you will continue to be with him, strengthen him as well as he continues on and as he teaches the word, no matter what's going on around him. Lord, we give you praise for your word, thanking you for your word, because your word changed our life, and we're just praying that it will also change the lives of those that are listening and participating as well. We thanking you for all things, Father God. And we just ask that you open up our hearts and our mind, that we're able to receive this word, that we're able to share it with others. And we thank you in advance for all things. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Bill.
God bless the prayer,
and like I said, just keep Tressa lifted up. That's a whole lot to be going through right now, but you know, like I said, God is able. Hallelujah. Well, hey, brothers and sisters, you know, we've been talking about adding. Okay, this is about adding right now. This is about adding knowledge to knowledge. Okay. Temperance and temperance to patience and patience to goodness. And last week, we want to kind of continue this. It's about 2 Peter 1:5-2 said that, you know, and beside this, giving all diligence, adding to your faith virtue and virtue to knowledge. So we've been adding to our faith. And remember what faith is. Faith is the word of God. That's just maybe a quick way of saying it. That's what it is. So when people talk about, oh, my faith, ask them what scripture they're dealing with. See, my faith to get me through it. Okay, well, I believe that. But what scripture are you dealing with? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. But you got to have the knowledge of that. And here's the knowledge. The Bible says in Romans, so then faith cometh by hearing. This 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the knowledge, brothers and sisters. The knowledge is getting the facts. That's what knowledge is. It's getting the fact, compounding a lot of information so you can have the fact. So I'm not saying you don't know this stuff. We're just adding. That's what we're doing. We're adding to your faith. We're adding to your virtue. We're adding to your knowledge. We're just adding. That's all. Who don't want to add? It doesn't make anyone any less or any greater, but God wants us to add to our faith. And this week, we're going to deal, and he wants us to add knowledge. Add knowledge. Remember, and I'm going to tell you all something that just blew my mind when God showed it to me. I had never seen this before. But I used to think knowledge was good until God showed me in the Word, all knowledge ain't good. And I said, what? God said, yeah, all knowledge ain't good. And so when I went back to Genesis and I looked at that thing, that was a tree of knowledge. And on that tree of knowledge, it was good and evil. So, because a lot of times we'll say, oh, this good, that good. Well, wait a minute. It may not be good for you. I gave y'all that illustration about the cake last week. Here, that cake was good. It looked beautiful, the right texture, everything. But inside, the lady had mixed antifreeze. So it was good and evil. So you shouldn't eat it. Because it looked good, don't eat it. See, so all knowledge ain't good for you the way we think knowledge is. Some of it is deadly. What better way of saying it is deadly. You eat that cake, that man ate that cake and died. He had no idea that his wife had put antifreeze in that mix. It was in the mixture. See?
Mm.
And that's what God tells us over there in Genesis when he told Adam. He says, Adam, they treat us in the mess. The Bible called it the tree of knowledge. A lot of information. Mm-hmm. A lot of information. So when you think about that tree in the garden, just think of a whole lot of information. Well, some good and some evil. But look, God protected him by telling him, don't even eat it. Don't worry about what's good and what. Don't touch it. Leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat it.
All right.
See, a lot of us, we want to try to figure out some things. Listen, brothers and sisters, when it comes to God, don't be trying to figure out jack. Just leave it alone. So this week, we're going to be dealing pretty much with his kingdom. I like what he said in John 18:36. Now, you don't have to do your research, because I'm not going to do it all, but I guarantee you my research is as good as yours or better. So in John 18:36 will be one of our scriptures, and one of them, and John 17:6-9, which you're gonna go, what? Did Jesus say that? Yeah. You're going to be surprised some of this stuff. I'm talking about knowledge now. I'm just adding to what you already know, because I know you already got this. I know you already know. So I'm just saying the Bible says we add more faith to faith, more temperance to temperance. We add more virtue to virtue and more knowledge. So we're adding knowledge to the knowledge you already have, to the information. It's just going to make you stronger in that word, in that faith. But anyway, in John 18:36, and this is so interesting. I'm not going to teach on it today. I'm just going to tell you all the outline for the week. But in John 18:36, in the King James Version, it reads like this. It says, well, okay, if I can get over here to it. Okay. John 18:36 reads like this. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servant fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. From the Message Bible, my kingdom, said Jesus, doesn't consist of what you see around you. If it did, my followers would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But I'm not that kind of king. Not the world's kind of king. Amen.
Yeah. See, that's one of the scriptures we're going to deal with this week, because you need to know either you're on Jesus' side or you're not. Maybe you've been taught. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have a knowledge that, okay, I've joined the church and that's what's required. Or maybe you go to the next level and say, you know what? I have a personal relationship with the Lord. And you may do all of those things. That's real good. But one day you're going to have to ask yourself, his kingdom is not of this world. Mm-hmm. And I like to say his kingdom is out of this world, because he tells us not to be in the world, but not be of the world. So this week we're going to talk quite a bit about his kingdom, because I want to be part of Christ's kingdom. His government. And the word kingdom means government. I know you all know this, but it's also his kingdom, or his government is not of this world. And I like the fact that Jesus made it personally. He says, my kingdom. Think about it now. That's personal. My kingdom is not of this world. As I say, do your research on world. See what it means. So you'll see maybe the places you're going may not be Christ's kingdom. Kingdom building, a lot of people talk about kingdom building, Brother, sister, let me be real clear to you, with you on this. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. And the only way you can build God's kingdom, that's in you. Because you're not going to see it through the optical nerve. It won't come through observation, and you'll see that this week. So a lot of people are trying to see the kingdom. And when they go to a building, they think that's God's kingdom. That ain't God's kingdom. When folks talk about building up the kingdom, well, we're doing this and we're selling this to build up the kingdom. They were selling donuts the other day, and they wanted me to buy. I said, why am I buying these donuts? Oh, for the kingdom of God. I said, well, what is the kingdom? I might need to know. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that ain't the kingdom of God. That ain't God's kingdom. See, people walk around here ignorant, and it bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pastor, you know this, and you. No, my job is to add to what you already have. And you got the word kingdom, and you understand the government, but we got to add to that so you'll have a good understanding. That's what knowledge is all about. But there's a lot of people, brothers and sisters, that rejects, and I'm going to go on record to say this. Most people reject his kingdom. Most people reject his kingdom. Now, I'm going to show you this. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. That's going to be one of the scriptures we're going to talk about. I'm going to ask Pastor going to read that. I'm going to list some stuff we're going to talk about, and I'm just going to ask Pastor, she'll read these scriptures. We'll get into them another day, unless after the broadcast today, somebody want to comment on it, you're more than welcome. But, let me show you, most people reject his kingdom. In Matthew 7, 13, 14, Pastor, if you'd be so kind.
Okay. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 from the King James. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen.
Listen, brothers and sisters, only a few folk gonna find it. It's a whole lot of people out here on this highway. There's a whole lot of roads out here. But listen, the gate is very narrow, and only a few folk. So I know you got all this in your mind, these big numbers and this and the other. Listen, brothers and sisters, only a few. And that's the way life is anyway. You're only going to get a few folks that's really going to do the right thing. We'll get into the few. We'll get into enter through the narrow gate. It's real narrow. Everybody don't want to go through that little narrow way. And you're going to find out that it's probably easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man, a person who full of pride, a person who full of riches, the things of this world.
Yeah,
it'll be easy.
That.
This is what Jesus said. I didn't say this. Another little bit we're going to talk about this week, hopefully, that he called his people to the kingdom. He calling us.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what he's calling us to do. In Matthew 3 and 1, And hopefully we're just going to add more knowledge to what you already have now. It's better than mine. But in Matthew 3, 1 and 2, we're going to get into these scriptures this week. I'm just somewhat giving you an outline, building my case, if it were. In Matthew's, the chapter 3, the verses 1 and 2, please.
Okay. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen.
Now, and thank you so much. God's kingdom was at hand, simply meaning the Holy Ghost hadn't came yet, but it was at the door. It was at hand. It was right there. And it's available for those that haven't received the kingdom of God in them yet. But here's the thing. God's kingdom requires us to repent. Well, you say, oh, I didn't repent. Wait a minute. Let's just pump the brakes on this. Repent means to reposition yourself, not to do 360. But it means to reposition yourself. That's how you can win a lot of battles, brothers and sisters, by repositioning yourself. To reposition is to be in Christ now. And this is just more knowledge for the knowledge that you already have, because most of us understand repent means you're going this way, turn around and go the other way. That's what repentance is. And we get it. We get all of that. But I'm trying to tell you that to repent, look at it in terms of repositioning. That don't mean you're not saved. That don't mean you don't have knowledge. None of that stuff. It means you're repositioning for position. That's what you're doing. Sometimes you have to reposition for position so you can receive because it's at hand. So you'll see God calls his people to his kingdom. A lot of them going to reject it, and a lot of them today reject it. They may not know it because they don't have the knowledge. Paul said, my people, and also in Malachi, but Paul said, my heart and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. See, they don't have that knowledge. Or what it takes. A lot of people think they saved because, I don't know, they join a church. Some people think they saved because they feel it. So a lot of them think they saved because, well, you get the knowledge of how you know you saved. The people are destroyed for the lack of. So that's what this is about. For the lack of knowledge, we want to give you more knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge, and hope that you'll be able to share that with other people. And let me tell you, God welcomed, and I'm going to show you this in the Word of God, God welcomed people who will reposition themselves or repentance. And I'm going to tell you why. Because church folk, and I'm going to say this, church folk are hard to get them to reposition themselves because they think they got it all going on. And Jesus told them, say, you know what? The tax collectors and the whores, they'll get in before y'all will because they believe.
I'm
going to show you that right there, man, in the scripture this week where these church folk thought they had it all going on and Jesus had to pump the brakes on them again, let them know, hey, I got whores out here and tax collectors and all these folks, they'll inherit before you will because you won't believe. You won't turn loose your stuff because you caught up in what you're doing and you won't repent. You won't reposition yourself. See? And let me tell you, his kingdom, brother, sister, it takes his spirit to lead citizens to his will. And you have to, and yes, it's a fight. Yes. It's a struggle. But let me tell you what, you've been called to do this. You're able to do this. You're fit for this. You've been battle tested already. All along, God's been getting you ready for such a time as this. He needs some real bold soldiers, somebody to stand on his word every situation. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, Christ said, my servants will fight for me. So why are you trying to make your kingdom here? Because a lot of preachers, you know, they preaching that. They want you to have your kingdom here. Man, forget about here. You're getting ready to get up out of here. I know people don't want to preach that, but I'm telling you, it's about preaching an eternal gospel. We've been called to unite with his kingdom. That's a call on each and every one of our lives. Jesus prayed. He told the Father, he says, you have given me these people. And for that reason, I pray for them. You keep them through my name. You have given me these that they may be one as we are one. He wants us to be one in his kingdom, in his kingdom, in his way of doing things, not the world way. Matter of fact, if anything, he'd call us to be separated from this world system, because that's what this world is. It's a system. And I'm going to show you that in the Bible, too, before the week's over. Okay, those are some of the things we're going to talk about this week. I'm excited because that will be a final judgment. But, brothers and sisters, you don't have to be part of that judgment, but you will be judged, and you can be judged right now or you can be judged later. And if you think folks are going to like you, they're not. They're not. Trust me. When you start preaching the kingdom of God, when you start preaching this gospel, this specific gospel, it ain't going to be like no other gospel. Okay, we're going to open it up. Anyone have any comments, any words of wisdom, anything to inspire us? Well, press one, and we'll let you comment. We don't, you know, ask nobody to do anything. We try to force people to do things. We just, hey, if the Lord leading you to speak, speak. Hallelujah. He leading you to say, give us a word of inspiration. Boom, give it to us. Hallelujah. Anyway.
Praise God. I just like to read that about the kingdom from Romans 14. And verse 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And yes. From the Message Amen. Bible, let's see, from the Message Bible, it says, okay, 14, whoa, I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay, 14 and 17, it says, God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sakes. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. Amen, amen.
Yeah.
So we thank God for his kingdom.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And God's kingdom is within you. It's not outside. Yeah. So when people start telling you about help building the kingdom, mm-hmm. the Holy Ghost, that's a Holy Ghost job. Let me throw that in there. That ain't our job.
Yeah.
That's a Holy Ghost mm-hmm. job. See, we got a job and then God has a job. We got a job and the Holy Ghost got a job. Remember when they had the two fish and five barley loaves? Their job was to give it to Jesus. Their
Amen.
Job was to take the people and put them in rows of 50. But it was Jesus' job to take bread and make bread and take fish and make fish. That was Jesus' job. So you understand,
Amen.
The Holy Ghost guy is the one going to build his kingdom. And how he's going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
We get more knowledge, more temperance, more faith. We just add. We going to add to what God has already put in us. Anyone else?
Yeah.
I'd like to have any other comments before we go. We thank all of you all. We thank Sister Ursula from California getting up this early and being part of the program.
Mm-hmm.
We thank each and every one of y'all. We ain't going to point nobody out. But that to me is a sacrifice. And there again, please, please again, pray for my daughter and what she's going through. When you lose, you know, 3-4 people in just less than a week, 2 weeks, it can be real devastating. I know.
Yeah.
So you can get one in the ground, there's another one you got to put in the ground. Then there's another one at the door. You better bury two uncles and a brother at the same time. It ain't easy.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all just stress and lift it up, and I appreciate it. Meanwhile, we'll see you all on tomorrow for the word at noon. By the way, I told her,